Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Second hour DDC here on this Friday. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason, Chase McCabe with you. Elijah Campbell. As well. Hopefully we'll have Robert Woods join us here in just a bit. Newest Titans wide receiver. Got a message from Chase on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is from Andrew in Dover. Chase, you need to try a screwball with root beer. Surprisingly, it works.
Screwball with root beer. Oh,
I don't love root beer. Yeah. In fact, I hate root beer.
Really?
Yeah. No, I am not a fan of
not a root beer
sarsaparilla
guy.
But
not even a root beer float.
See, I will
I go
have
with
a root
the Coke
beer float.
Float
every so often.
See, I think it's because I didn't grow up on root beer. Like I grew up on Coca-Cola. That's what I drank and still do. And so I never developed the taste for it. But there were times like my dad would mess with me and at the restaurant and had the fountain machine and I, you know, when I was younger and didn't fix it myself, he'd be like, "Here, you want a Coke?" and hand it to me. It was root beer. And I'd be like,
"All right, let's welcome in newest tight wide receiver Robert Woods to the program. Robert, thanks for joining us. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, I was really impressed with your press conference here when I always say when you were officially sworn in as a Titan. Yeah. I don't think you had to raise your right hand, but you're officially now a member of the Titans. And to me, it said a lot about you. Obviously, we're going to get to know you, and we've had people on to talk about covering you. But to see how the Rams handled your situation, which is unfortunately the business side of things, I was really impressed. To me, it says a lot about you. Take us through the process on how you ended up here and how eventually the Rams were able to trade with the Titans, and now you're here in Nashville.
Yeah. Coming off the Super Bowl, free agency frenzy, trades are happening. We're losing players, we're getting players, and we end up signing a big-time receiver, Allen Robinson. I was like hyped for him. I was like, okay, we got a new receiver addition. Don't know why we needed it, but obviously, like the more power we could get, you know, we have. And then I saw like the deal, and I'm like, okay, you know, just knowing how the league goes, I'm like, all right, you know, so, something not looking right. And got the call from McVay. You know, fortunate to spend my 5 years there. Like I said, coming off a Super Bowl title. Just blessed, and he was like, we're going to trade you. I said, what are my options? What's my destination? He said they're going to give me the power to kind of look around and do my homework and see where I want to go. Landed with Tennessee. Coach Braves was pushing for me. John Robinson was calling me. Got to kind of talk to the guys. Had a relationship with Rob Moore, receiver coach, and Todd Downing, offensive coordinator. And I just kind of knew this was the right fit, and was able to make it happen on both sides, and found my new home and trying to win a championship here and do it back-to-back.
Let's take that out of play, and I understand it has to be in play. They have to be interested in you, but, you know, that always helps. But let's just say if you were sitting down and evaluating teams, what I mean, do you think the Titans still would have been high up on your list? If you were just sitting down going, okay, good landing spots for Robert Woods, Do you think the Titans still would have been very high on your list if you were doing the evaluating?
Yeah, I think so. When you look at this team, I mean, well, before that, even just as a player, you want to go to a solid team, great foundation, a great organization, and a coach who has been there and kind of solidified himself. You know he's going to be there. And then being a receiver, you want to be in a balanced offense. You want to be able to attack him on the ground, get it in the air as well, and having the quarterback who would deliver the ball. And when you look at the and the defense on top of that, so when you look at the Tennessee Titans, they have all these things. You got Braves coming off Coach of the Year, Derrick Henry, rushing leader the year before and would have been this year. A.J. Brown, Pro Bowler, would have been 1,000 yards. Tannehill being able to deliver the ball. I feel like this is the right fit for me as a receiver to succeed and be able to continue my success as a receiver in my game and add to this team that they already have.
How are you progressing, Robert? I've been through a torn ACL. I currently am walking around on a torn ACL. How are you progressing? I know how that rehab is. Do you feel comfortable that, you know, you're going to be in the mix from jump, or do you think it's going to take a little bit more time than that?
You know, I'm trying to get back as fast as I can. This is my first, like, serious injury. I've not finished the year, so this is a different rehab process for me.
Yep.
But I'm in pushing through, getting strong. The trainers like where I'm at when I was with the Rams, even coming here, Todd is like where I've been progressing, being able to get on the grass and get some running going. Being 4 months out, I feel like I'm in a great position to be ready to come in and pick back up right where I left off. And I mean, my surgeon was best of the best. Got a great repair. Surgery's different, so I would say fix yours. Get it fixed now.
We're talking.
I'm a little bit older, so I may just hold off.
It might take you a little bit longer.
I'm not trying to get out on the field.
He's not working on his routes either.
Exactly. We're talking with Robert Woods. He's entering into his 10th year. The Titans' new free agent acquisition or trade. I would say that. Now, Robert, a lot of people have brought up, you know, going from one team to another and your transition. I've been through the same thing, being at one team for 6 years, 8 years, and then having to go to another team, spent 6 years in Baltimore. My transition was easy, but my family's transition was a little bit more difficult because of all of the moves that had to be made with the little kids and everything else. Explain to the listener, because I don't think they really truly understand how hard that part is. Not just for a player, but for his family.
Yeah. For me, it happens fast. Me and my wife were I'm rehabbing with the Rams. We're heading out for like a weekend getaway to Napa. We're leaving L.A. Got on the plane that Friday as I'm taking right to, I was on the runway. McVay calls me. I get the call. So we're talking about that. And then I'm like, oh, is this about to happen while I'm in the air? Like, when is this going to go down? Was able to, like, have that weekend to, like, talk through teams. By the time I left after that Sunday, I knew I was coming to Tennessee kind of Saturday night. And then Sunday we talked it out, made the deal. I want to say I got here Tuesday. Met with the coaches, met with the Braves, did my MRI, my scans. Went back home Thursday, came back Sunday, and I've been here since. And, like, for my family, I have a 8-month-old daughter, my wife, who's with me, and who's in school online. And it's really like it changed in a week, you know. Everything changed. You got to be out here looking for houses now, trying to figure out how we're going to get acclimated, where we're going to be. And you have such little time to really get situated and obviously prepare for the season, get to build a relationship with your guys. So all that is like an adjustment. With the Rams, with free agency, it's kind of like you mentally prepare. You know what's coming up for 4 years. You're preparing for free agency. With trades, I mean, all in the week, it changed.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Things change very quickly, and everybody has to adjust very quickly. And like I said, for the player, it's a little bit easier because you're walking into a room and you already have 50-something friends. But for your family, it's not quite that way. They got to kind of sort of make their way through the new city, which I'm pretty sure they will love. And I hope you do find a house because, as you, I'm pretty sure, houses they come and they go very quickly in this town. So I hope you do find a house.
Well, you
very
have
quickly.
Like three. Give him one. Come on.
Well, I can sell him mine.
You move all the time.
Exactly.
My daughter being 8 months, I know some players, when their kids are in school and they get older, mm-hmm. that's like a whole nother situation for the kids. But like you said, my wife is she got close with the wives there, building the Bible study and stuff like that and networking. And I just got to get new friends and kind of like get readjusted quickly, you know, find a new barber, you know, all that stuff, you know, all these things just come up.
Now, how was I want to go back to the Super Bowl year last year for you. Mm-hmm. How was that transition for you? You know, you're starting off as, you know, one of the guys and you're playing and you're going to have a great season. And you're having a great season up to that point, and then you get hurt, and now you got to sit on the sideline as you watch your teammate, you know, grind it out for the Super Bowl run, and then ultimately you guys win a Super Bowl. So how was that emotionally for you?
Yeah, really, like, obviously you preparing for the Super Bowl to play in it, and then an injury happened at practice, get hurt. And find out that it's season ending. Obviously, I'm torn. I'm hurt. I'm watching the games, kind of bitter. First few games, I would say I'm bitter. And then I end up, you know, just being happy for my guys. You know, like, man, like, I'm still a part of the team. I'm still a part of the success. And then finding ways to really, when I was in rehab, even Cooper Kupp and Van, I talked to Van every single week after the games. Me and Cooper talk every single week over plays and stuff like that. And really getting that involvement helped me to feel like I was involved. I was able to bring some other guys along in the rehab room who were down and make them feel like they were a part of the success. And really just finding ways to be a part of it when I'm off the field.
We're talking to wide receiver Robert Woods, now with the Tennessee Titans, of course with the Rams, the last five seasons. You mentioned Todd Downing, the Titans offensive coordinator, earlier. You guys worked together in Buffalo. What are your impressions of him? You know, he went through his first year as the Titans OC and the play caller, and like you know, anyone taking over that role, there were good times, there were bad times, but what are your overall impressions of him and this offense?
Really just him being able to give guys opportunities, see what he did with Derrick Henry, being able to feed off of his talents and get it going on the ground game, and feed off of it with the pass with A.J. Brown, Tannehill involved in the play-action game, and really kind of similar passing game to what I had because he has some similarities to what LaFleur left here, and I think that'll be great to just help accent my game with this play calling, with the play action, and feeding off of the routes with that.
You mentioned A.J. Brown. We've seen what he can do early in his career, and I've heard Derek say this, you know, of playing with younger receivers and, you know, as an older guy, being able to even learn some things from them. When you watch him, what do you see, and how excited are you to get on the practice field with him and maybe even pick up some stuff from a younger receiver?
Yeah, man, I like to be around the young guys, learn from your game. They're explosive and they're bringing new things. And what you see with AJ, he goes after the ball, attacks it with his hands, great downfield, receiver, obviously a great, running after catch receiver. I think we'll both do well with that and making guys miss, running through guys. But really just watching him and attack the ball, and I could teach him some things and just being able to compliment each other, work hard at practice, and bring it to life on Sunday.
Well, it's going to be fun to have you here, Robert. Best of luck with the rehab and everything, and we'll see you in training camp. But welcome to Nashville.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me here.
That is Titans wide receiver Robert Woods. Going to be a really, really good addition to this team, and appreciate him taking the time to join us today. Up next, I'm going to ask Derek a little more about him because I haven't gotten to do that yet. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten to get your thoughts and talk to you about him, but we will do that up next as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase with Derek Mason on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The DDC rolls on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Darren McFarlane hanging out, Elijah Campbell on the ones and twos. Appreciate Robert Woods for joining us. If you could hear us during the break, you would have basically heard an extension of the show because Derek and I were talking wide receivers, so I want to bring this to the airwaves. I've heard you over the last few weeks, you know, you obviously have a concern for the knee, for Robert Woods being an older guy. He's 29 years old, he'll be 30, you know, going into the season. And I get that. It's a valid concern to have. But I feel like with the similarities that the Rams offense have to this offense, the fact that he has worked with Todd Downing before and Rob Moore before, that is going to be a plus to be a complimentary receiver alongside A.J. Brown, because I think that Todd Downing and Ryan Tannehill, the guy actually running the plays, are going to be able to trust Robert Woods more as another option than they did Julio Jones, because you never knew if Julio Jones was going to be healthy or not, you know, with the hamstring. And to me, a hamstring concerns me more than a repaired ACL. That's just me. But I like it. I mean, I think maybe not right off the bat he's going to be 100%, but I think overall this is going to be a good move for the Tennessee Titans. But the conversation that we were just having was, now they have the one, the two, but they need to go find somebody else, most likely in the draft, and find that deep threat guy, because I can't remember the last time that this team truly had a deep threat at wide receiver. You know, Julio at one point in time in his career could be classified as that. Those times are gone. You know, Chris Sanders was that type of receiver back in the day. You know, you were more, could play anywhere, but over the middle, you know, somewhere in there. They haven't had that in a long time. I heard the morning show mention Tyrone Calico was supposed to be that. He got hurt. But I feel like that's something that they need, because with A.J. Brown and Robert Woods, these guys are going to get you a lot of yards after they catch the ball.
Yeah, and I want to explain this in
a way. Yeah, and I want you to do that how you were during the break, because I thought that
so
was really
good.
People
will understand this. There's only one true deep threat in the National Football League, and one. Y'all can throw all these other people at me and say, well, this guy averages, you know, 15 yards a catch. This, no, there's one true deep threat, and his name is Tyreek Hill. That's one guy that if you put him on the line with every NFL player, he will beat every NFL player, regardless of the position. He's the only legitimate, when you're talking speed, he's the only legitimate deep threat. You look at these other guys, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Deebo Samuel, Cooper Kupp, even A.J. Brown. These are guys that catches the ball. When they catch the ball, whether it be 5, 10, 15 yards, they're able to break tackles and run. Or every receiver in the league can get deep. It's all about design, scheme, how we run the routes, combination routes against certain defenses. So you can have a bunch of tight ends. Travis Kelce can get deep if the play allows for him to get deep. So when you see that and people say, well, this guy's the deep threat, this guy's a deep threat. No, there's one legitimate deep threat, and that's Tyreek Hill. Everyone else does a really good job. Those receivers that I name, They do a really good job at catching the ball at 5, 10, 15 yards and breaking tackles. Those, to me, are considered guys that are really good run after the catch. They are huge yak guys. Cooper Kupp almost had 1,000 yards in yak. Almost 1,000 yards in yak. You look at Deebo Samuel. He had almost 800 yards in yak. But we don't look at Cooper Kupp as a deep threat. We don't look at Deebo Samuel as a deep threat. But these guys do a tremendous job. A.J. Brown does a tremendous job. When he gets his hands on the ball, they become running backs. They become fullbacks, and it's hard to get them to the ground. But there's only one legitimate deep threat, and that's Tyreek Hill.
And do you think he still can be that? Because you have to credit the guy throwing him the football in Kansas City, mm-hmm. in Patrick Mahomes, who has a bazooka for an arm. He doesn't have that in Miami now. So can he still be that true deep threat? Because does he have a quarterback that's going to be able to get it that far?
Tyreek averaged 11 yards a catch. 11 yards. You know why? Because defenses said, nah, not no more. You're not doing that. You're not doing this to us no more. We're going to make sure you don't get deep. So you're going to catch everything underneath, and we're going to try to tackle you. It's going to be the same thing in Miami. Doesn't matter who's throwing him the ball. It's all about the guy that's catching the ball. So whoever's covering Tyreek Hill, the defensive coordinator, he's going to say, we're not letting this guy get deep. We're just not. So if he's going to catch passes, they're all going to be underneath, and then we got to rally to tackle him. It's the same for A.J. Brown. Teams are not letting A.J. Brown get deep. He catches those passes, and they try to rally and tackle him. Same for Robert Woods. It's going to be the same for Robert Woods. These guys have the ability to beat you deep, but teams are not going to let them. Mm-hmm. You know, so I would rather have an A.J. Brown on my team that can catch a five-yarder and turn it into 15 or 20. Why? Because he's breaking tackles. He's hard to tackle. He turns into a running back. Deebo Samuel turns into a running back when he catches the ball. So I think the Titans, they don't necessarily need a guy that you can just a 4-2, 4-1 guy. 9 times out of 10, those guys don't work out. I need a guy that has the ability to get deep but can run all those intermediate routes. But when he gets his hands on the ball, that's when the magic starts. He needs to be in the same mode as A.J. Brown, because I can get him deep. But how many teams are going to let me get deep? You know, I need him to catch it and run through people. So if they can get someone like A.J. Brown, another bigger receiver, physical receiver to go along with Robert Woods, I think this passing game would take another step, and they will become more of a – they're a balanced team now, more heavy run, I would say, but they will become more of a passing team. They don't need that guy, that 4-1, 4-2 guy to take the top off, because teams are not going to let you do that. Give me another A.J. Brown to go with Robert Woods. Now we're going to have some fun.
I want both of you to think about Robert Woods' role in this offense and what can it look like. What do you think it's going to look like? And just think about what Julio Jones did as the two this season and what Robert Woods. What is it going to look like with Robert Woods? Brown and Julio got everybody excited. It didn't live up to the hype. Can Brown and Woods live up to the hype? I want those answers on the other side. And right now I want to talk to you about Wager. You've been hearing me talk about them for weeks, and I have had so much fun on Wager with you guys. And I hope you're having fun too. And I know I've had some feedback. You're having fun. And we know it's Final Four weekend, so all the action begins Saturday night. You've got Villanova and Kansas. You've got North Carolina and Duke meeting for the first time ever in the NCAA tournament. And I'm super excited to bet on those games in the community, in the 102.5 The Game community right now on Wager. I've mentioned for the past couple of weeks that Wager is a new app based here in Nashville that lets you bet on sports with your friends, your coworkers, and other people here in the state of Tennessee, and of course, even me. So rather than betting against the book that's incentivized to see you lose, you have an actual person on the other end of that wager. So you can talk smack on the app, you can follow friends, you can see what others are wagering on. You never have to chase anybody down for the money. It's totally different than every other app out there. I'm sending out and accepting wagers every single day. So if you're over 21 years of age or older, download that app in your phone's browser at wager.me/DMAC. That's wager, wager.me/DMAC, DMAC. And once you're in, don't forget to join 1025 The Game crew. Let's see if you can take some money from me. I'll be sending out some wagers for this weekend's action. So download that app right now, and I'll see you when you get in there. Remember, you must be 21 years of age or older to play. If you have any gambling problem, please call 1-800-889-9789. You're looking for another chance to win with a bracket challenge? Most of you are. Well, we've got one, a four-team game bracket challenge. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge to play for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shinedown, woo, Bridgestone Arena, May 4th. The Game Bracket Challenge is brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Grill in Spring Hill, Days Delta 8, and Wager, who you just heard me talking about. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Good stuff from Robert Woods today, newest Titans wide receiver. There was lots of hype this time last year. Well, when they got Julio Jones in the offseason, the hype of Brown and Jones, 1-2 punch. Man, what can that look like? Well, there were a couple of flashes, just a few. Other than that, it was basically a dud. Julio Jones was a dud. He's gone. Robert Woods, enter Robert Woods, now Brown and Woods as your 1-2 punch. I asked him, when do you think you're going to be back? Do you think you're on pace? I've gone through his rehab. I know what he's going through. Of course, I wasn't a professional athlete, and I wasn't trying to get back to play an NFL game. It sounded like he was, you know, he feels good, but he's not going to be definitive on anything, and I can respect that. It's 4 months away on where he is, but I think he feels like he – so let's go on the premise. He's going to be ready to go week one or, you know, very, very early on in the season, and he's a full go. What do we think that 1-2 combo, how good can it be, Derek?
I mean, it can be as good as they make it, you know, or it can be okay. I don't think it's going to be Julio Jones unless, you know, Robert still shows some, you know, residual effects of the knee injury. But I don't think it'll get to a point where it will be Julio and AJ. I think it will be better than that. But it's more than just getting on the field. You know, we look at it now and we say, okay, this is if Robert's healthy, they should be good. Well, it's more than that because, you know, I've seen a lot of pairing of receivers and then things don't go the way that he thought they would go. You know, he has to learn a playbook, which I'm pretty sure he will learn. It's similar, but there's some sure differences as well. Terminology may be a little bit different, how they approach it. Then he has to build a rapport with Ryan Tannehill. And I think that's the biggest one.
Okay, building take that rapport. Us through that. You lived it. Okay, you lived it for a long time in the league. How do you do that as a receiver?
Time, practice, off season, and here's the problem.
He's limited.
He's limited in the off season because of the injury. Now he can, now because I was different. You know, I was more of a. I get it from a visual standpoint. I'm looking at it on the board. I get it. I'm reading it in the book. I get it. But until I actually get out on the field and do it, that's when I feel comfortable. When I do it 10, 20 times, I feel comfortable. Well, he's not in a position at this point to do it from a physical standpoint. One, he's still rehabbing. Two, they don't have the days that they used to have, you know. So that time he's going to have to make up, you know, in two-a-day camp and as the season start to go. And then the other thing is, how are they going to play him during the preseason? I know they're going to be very cautious because of his knee. Well, they have every right to be cautious, but it hurts him from a learning standpoint and building that rapport with the quarterback.
That is a very, very good question, because last year Vrabel didn't play anybody.
Yeah, and look what happened.
Yeah, and the chemistry was off to start the year. I mean, Darren, you remember these conversations that I was asking, are they being too careful, you know, by keeping these guys out? Because they weren't practicing, they weren't playing in the preseason. I mean, they were doing very little. And you saw it early in the season, especially in that game against Arizona, that the chemistry was just not there. It was off. I mean, Henry was eh, but Julio obviously was a non-factor. Never was.
Let's be honest.
No, it never was.
There never was any chemistry between Tannehill and Jones. Never
no,
was.
And I don't know if you – I know you had to step away. I don't know if you heard my point earlier. When you ask about what role Robert Woods is going to have – I think the hope is that they're going to be able to trust him, because I don't think they ever trusted Julio. Not from – I don't mean that in a, like, I don't trust this guy. In a sense of they don't trust that the hamstring was going to hold up. They never knew what – if he was going to be good 1 week or off the next week. And so they couldn't trust him. And so, you know, as Tannehill's going through his progression, it's like, all right, if he cuts and I throw him the ball, is it going to blow out on him as soon as he takes off? Mm-hmm. And so I think with a repaired knee, even though, yes, that is a concern for a 30-year-old, you know, how's it going to hold up? Is he going to be, you know, at what point is he going to be 100% and good to go? I trust the repaired knee more than I do a hamstring that you never know what it is week in and week out. And so I think they're going to be able to trust Robert Woods more than they could trust Julio Jones.
Well, from that standpoint, yes, because, I mean, how many times – you've seen where hamstrings have felt great, and then 2 weeks later they feel bad, then they feel good, then they feel bad. Well, with a knee injury, ACL, they've repaired it, and it's not a back-and-forth thing. It's more so it's a gradual getting better. It's gradually getting better. Here's what, you know, I would suggest for Robert Woods and for whatever. Trust the player. Let the player – dictate whether he's going to play or practice or not. Because here's the deal. Sometimes coaches and medical, you know, people, they're so cautious that they pull guys out. And no, we don't need you to do anything. We don't need to. And the player is like, listen, I feel good. I'm ready to, I'm good. I can go another day of practice. Nah, we wanna hold you back. We don't wanna. Let the player be the judgment of his body.
Didn't we see that play out in Hard Knocks with the Cowboys and Dak? Right?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. That absolutely played out where Dak was like, come on, man. I want to practice.
Exactly.
Like, it's training camp. Like, they were like, hey, we're going to hold you out today. And he's like, why? Like, we saw that play out on Hard Knocks.
And because you're not the coaches and training people, they are trying, and I get why they do it. And I understand it. But sometimes you're hurting the player by holding him out, thinking, okay, I'm going to pull him back. And the player, in his mind, the day before, is like, I'm practicing. Mm-hmm. And then he comes out, and they're like, ah, we're going to hold you back today. And he's like, man, I need this time. So sometimes medical and coaches can be too careful, mm-hmm. and it becomes a detriment to the player.
And how much, you know, and I don't know if this was the case or not with Dak, but, I mean, we got to see a different view of it because it was on Hard Knocks that mm-hmm. you could tell he was pissed off that he wasn't practicing.
He made it abundantly clear.
Very
he wasn't
clear.
Even hiding it.
Yeah, and so then when he does get his opportunities, he's going to push even harder, and he hurt his shoulder. And so how much does that happen of a player that, okay, they know their time's limited because you have these – all these medical guys that are saying, well, you know, don't do too much and you got to hold him back. And so he's trying, you know, either the player's trying to be careful or they're trying to do too much in a short amount of time and therefore they hurt something else.
I look at from what I've heard about Robert Woods and listening to him and sort of watching his career from afar, I think he's the type of guy that if he can go, he's going to go. He's not one of those guys that is going to sit there and say, well, you know, man, I can take the day off because I just come off a knee. Yeah. I think he's the guy that if he – just like
And we were warned about Julio, right?
Exactly. Absolutely.
Everybody we had on from Atlanta warned us, like, don't be used to Julio out on the practice field. Don't get used to Julio down the stretch of games. You know, they were, like, warning us, like, dude takes himself out all the time. I mean, we were warned. I don't get that vibe about Woods.
Yeah, no. I think he's one of those guys, especially after a injury. If he can practice, he's going to practice. He's not going to say, well, I'm going to take the day off because, you know, my knee's just feeling a little tight or it's just a little tired, so I'm going to take the day off. And they would say, okay, because you just come off a knee injury. I don't see him as that type of guy. I think if he can go, he's going to go. If he can't go, he's not going to go. But if it's like 50-50, then he's going to push it through.
Yeah, and I agree with you that you got to listen to the player. And what's interesting, Darren, is how many times have we talked about that player mentality in Vrabel comes out, and sometimes maybe it comes out a little too much, and that, you know, it's influence going forward on fourth down or a 2-point or like that player mentality has influenced some things maybe a little too much. I would think in this standpoint, you would want that because he's been through injuries and he's been through having to play through something and so trust the player. And you know, I respect that the league is much different than it was when you played, Derek, of that you have more medical professionals and we know more, and there's more into the science behind taking care of a player's body. And obviously with concussions, we know a whole lot more than we did back then. And so I respect what all those men and women are doing. But at the same time, I agree with you that you got to go to the player and you have to trust the player that, hey, how does your body feel? And if they say, I'm good to go, then you see. And then if you can clearly see that they're not, then you pull them out.
You pull them out. But
let's play the game that we played with Julio that was clearly the under. But I'm going to set an over-under on catches this year. And let's go on and start that conversation because we did it last year with Julio, and let's see what we think. Because we remain consistent. It obviously ended up being under the number that we chose. But I'll throw out a number when we come back, and you guys weigh in on if you think it's going to be the over, under catches this year for Robert Woods. All right, we'll do that to close out hour number two. We'll do that next. All right, we're doing a little bit of shuffling again. I guess Bucky Brooks is still on the air. He's going to need a little bit more time. So we're going to do You Just Made the List at our normal time. So that's coming up at high noon. Keep that in mind. You Just Made the List coming up at noon. We have a great prize, Collective Soul and Switchfoot at the Opry House on Sunday, September 11th. So that's what's at stake. Want you to feel a little bit better. So normal time slot, I guess Bucky is in the air still. So it'll be probably to start the final hour is what we're looking at as we discuss a little NFL draft with him. Back here on the DDC. Okay, let's talk about what could be for Robert Woods. Yes, the over-under we did for catches for Julio Jones, we know it was well, well under. Now, this is the number. I don't know if you guys were kind of thinking of one on your own. And if you did, then you tell me if you think I'm crazy with mine or not. But this is the number that I came up with. Basically, he was on pace this year to do exactly what he had done the previous 3 years. He's pretty much been a 90-catch guy a year. And he was right on pace to do the same thing. That would have been 4 years in a row. So that's Jared Goff and Stafford. Keep that in mind. It's not like he just did that with Stafford. Those other 3 years, 90 catches, that was Jared Goff. So with that being said, I have decided to put the over-under on receptions for Robert Woods at 79.5. So in other words, 80 or more this season. One, does anybody have a problem with that number?
No, because I see why you're bringing it down because of the role that he's likely to play. That he's coming off an ACL, and A.J. Brown, you know, is going to be the go-to guy, even though, you know, Kupp has kind of been the number one there in L.A. So I think you're right around it.
Well, actually, I think he was.
He was,
the number one, and he's not going to be the number one here.
Oh, he was the number one in you
know. Yeah, he was the number one.
For at least until Cooper Kupp really started to come on. Here's the deal. I think you're close, but we got to ask ourselves. In the last 3 years, A.J. Brown has not had over 70 catches. He's had 70, but he hasn't had over 70. Now, there are different factors because, you know, he's been injured or whatnot. But
yeah, I don't think he's ever played 16
games. Most he's had was 70 catches.
Okay.
You look at Davis. I think the most Davis had was 70 catches, I think, 70, 75. This offense, you don't want – now – listen, if you want Robert Woods to catch over 80 balls, that means A.J. Brown needs to catch over 90 balls, 100 balls. Do you want Ryan Tannehill throwing the ball that much when Derrick Henry is healthy? You tell me.
That's the if he's throwing the ball that much, that means Derrick Henry's not healthy.
That's a great point.
I'm looking at it from that standpoint. If they're throwing the ball a lot, that means they're down.
So you're too high. You must go lower.
I see him around a 75. If he's fully healthy, he doesn't have any.
What about 69 and a half?
I see 70 to 75 catches.
Well, you just said it. Maybe 69 and a half is the better marker because AJ's only – his best season is 70 catches. So
and I understand why it was because he has not played a full – his first year he played a full season. But after that, he's missed games. But even with that – do you want Ryan throwing the ball that many times?
Yeah, and the Rams in that offense.
All they do is throw the ball.
But they don't have a run game.
Exactly.
I mean, they have one, but they don't have what they have here. You know, and it's more pass first than it is here.
Everybody has a running game, but nobody has Derrick Henry.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and this team.
That's the best way of
putting it. And I'll say this. I think this team, you know, you wanted to have him last year, and they still got the number one seed, but maybe they learned what, you know, they had to learn what life was like without him and, like, being like everybody else in having an average run game. And so that could help them moving forward. If you still use Derrick Henry and still make him, you know, the focal point of your offense, but at the same time you're opening it up more if you trust the quarterback – to get the ball to Brown or to Woods.
So if I put it at 69 and a half, Derek, where are you going? Over, under?
I'm saying over. Because I think it would be set in that range of 70 to 75.
Okay. Chase?
See, to Derek's point, to answer this question, and I'm not being Willie here. Sorry, Willie. to answer this question, I also have to know, is AJ going to be healthy? Because that factors in. What is AJ going to be this year?
Well, right, but I mean that's the whole point. I mean I mean the sports books would like to know that too when they set over unders before the season begins. Is this going to play out? Is that going to play out? I mean, of course, there are factors that will determine an answer, but I mean, there's no way for us to know. I suspect. Look, I thought we were on to something yesterday, Derek. You remember in the last 30 minutes of the show when we were talking about Ryan Tannehill and AJ Brown. A.J. Brown, there's going to be a lot of similarities to what Philip Forsberg just went through, right?
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows what their talent is and what they can do. But there's been a lot of talk of, man, if they could just stay healthy, if they could be available most of the time. And then Philip Forsberg's going into a big year, right? Mm-hmm. Like A.J. Brown. And then it all comes together, and it's like, oh, so we were right. This is what it looks like when he's available and he doesn't miss 15 to 20 games a year.
Yeah.
Right? And so A.J. Brown, there's been too much discussion of he needs to be available more, and it's going to be a big year. So if he puts it together and he's available for 17 games, like Philip Forsberg has been available all year, is he going to go down the same path Forsberg has gone down with the Predators, where he's going to have career everything?
I think the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, if he plays full 17 games, yeah, he's going to have a career year.
Probably, what, 1,200 yard receiver with double-digit touchdowns and you know, 80, 90 catches somewhere in there. I mean, 80 to 85 maybe. So for Robert Woods, for your question, I'm leaning over, but just barely. Like 69.5 is perfect. So I mean, I think 70 to 75, like Derek was saying, I will lean over.
Because you have to look at the attempts. Ryan had 500 and some attempts last year. You know how many completions Tom Brady had? 485. So he was just under the completions that Ryan had attempted. You know? So in order for all of these, in order for Robert Woods to get his 90 and AJ to get his 90 and Hooper to get his 50, 55 catches. Then,
you guys are asking Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball a lot.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Or if he doesn't throw a lot, then the receivers need to be catching. Their catching percentages need to be 70, 75, 80, 85.
But let me ask you this, though. If you're Vrabel and you're Downing,
mm-hmm.
And you know what happened last year with Tannehill. You threw a lot of picks.
I'm not throwing the ball that much.
You're gonna protect him.
People on our text mm-hmm. line are like Gator Tim is saying Robert Woods will only catch 60 balls in this offense. Unnamed texter says NWI will have more catches. Woods 60 catches, 600 yards this season. So
And it has nothing to do with his ability.
But that's the point. Like, we've had all this Ryan Tannehill discussion, and now we're all of a sudden getting to the point where it's like, oh, he's going to be slinging it all over the yard all
that's
the time?
What I'm saying.
Is that
he's
what
not.
People want? Like, with Derrick Henry? Like, no, that should not be the game plan coming into the season. So this conversation is not going away anytime soon.
I love this conversation.
I know. We will definitely pick up with this later on. But we're going to come back. You just made the list. Tell us who or what made you mad. We'll do that to start hour number three next.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.